thank you, Marguerite. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. You can say good morning. It's okay. Yeah, we're masked, but we can still say good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church and our worship service this morning. Before we start our singing time, I would ask all of you to bow your heads in prayer with me, please. Oh, good morning, Father. We're gathered together in your house, in your name. We come here to praise, honor, and glorify you, Lord, but most importantly, to thank you for loving us so much. Forgive us for anything right now that we are either doing or not doing that's separating us from you. Help us to commit our hearts, souls, and minds to you, Father. And Holy Spirit, please come. Fill this place right now. Please let us feel your presence. For it is in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now, our God loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to be our Messiah so we could be redeemed from our sin and have eternal life with him. He is our living hope.
Okay. free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
I love that song. Jesus loves you and me so much that he was willing to leave his seat in heaven, take human form, and suffer a humiliating death for you and me. No commitment issues there, right? No. We, however, do suffer from commitment issues, just like the young man who came to Jesus, asking what he needed to do to have eternal life. In Mark 10, 21 through 22, we read this. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I love that part. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The young man's wealth kept him from committing his heart to Jesus. So what is keeping us from committing ourselves and our hearts to him? We all have something that's a stumbling block at some point in time in our walks. Amen? It's there. It's real. Just give it up to God. And as we sing our next song, Jesus Loves Me, just surrender yourselves. Just surrender and say, I'm yours.
I was
And now we'll have children's moments.
Good morning. I'm coming to you by way of video this morning because I am quarantining again. I was exposed to COVID and I want to be really super safe. And just in case I have any germs, I don't want to spread them to anybody else. I want to keep them safe. And I was thinking about that today with our scripture. Our scripture is about how Jesus says his followers recognize his voice, so they know to come to him and to follow him. And this past week, there was a house that caught on fire just down the road from here. And there are a lot of fire trucks and police cars in the road. And fortunately, they had put the fire out. They were trying to keep the cars away from that part of the road where the fire was. So there was a policeman out there with a whistle, and he was blowing his whistle and doing this with his with his hand. So do you know what that means? Yeah, it means stop. It's a way for him to tell us what he wants us to know when we can't necessarily hear his voice. So he has that loud whistle and he puts his hand up and the cars know that they need to stop, that it's not safe to go. And I think about that and that's an important thing. Keeping us safe is an important job that the police officer has, especially when something happens and the cars can't go the way they normally go on the road. And I think about that, how is it that we can hear Jesus, who doesn't always speak to us in the kind of voice that we can hear? So how do we do that? So I think about we can listen for Jesus' voice when we hear scripture, when we hear the stories about his life. That's one way that he talks to us. And I think that we also hear his voice or hear what he's trying to tell us in the things that he does in scripture. Like when he heals the sick, it's Jesus saying to us that, we also need to look out for people who are sick. When he feeds the hungry, it's a reminder that we can be like Jesus by offering food to people who might be hungry, or even just offering food to people so that they know that we love them. You might feel very loved if someone offers you something to eat when you're hungry, even if it's something like a cookie. Don't we feel loved when we get that food? And so think about those ways. How might God speak to you this week? Maybe not in words exactly, but maybe in a sign, in a story, or through the actions of somebody else. I hope you'll be listening for what God is trying to say to you this week. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who shows us the way that we ought to treat one another. Help us to hear his message to us and read the signs that he has left for us so that we might follow him. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Our scripture today is from John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, and it's to be read as a responsive reading. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in a portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will not perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I am coming to you through the miracle of video because I am back in quarantine. I've been exposed again to someone who tested positive for COVID. So I am with you in spirit, if not in body. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we have heard your words read aloud. And as we come to consider these words, Lord, help us to hear your claim and your call upon our lives. Help us to hear where it is you are calling us to be and what you are calling us to do, to be real followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. For our honeymoon, my husband and I planned to spend a week in Key West, Florida. And so the day after the wedding, we flew to Miami and we rented a car for the drive down to the Keys. And the car rental place, they gave us a map of the airport, and we had a map of Florida and the Keys and Miami. And so it didn't take very long for us to realize after we left the car rental place that we were lost. I was looking through the maps. I was trying to match up the scenery and the signs flying past with what I was seeing. And it became apparent that we were not getting any farther from the airport nor any closer to the highway that would take us south. And so finally, in frustration, my husband yelled at me, "Can't you read a map?" And I yelled back, "I'm trying, but you're going faster than I can figure out where we are." And other words were exchanged, not particularly friendly words either. Finally, we pulled over and asked a parking lot attendant for directions, explaining to her that we were lost, trying to get out of the airport and to the highway. And she very helpfully took our map and she marked the route we were supposed to go. And she told us where it is, you know, we needed to be turn by turn. And I listened very carefully to what she was saying. And so when we took off again and my husband yelled, "Right or left," I could say, "Right." And so by the time we were finally heading down to the Keys, I was wondering what the rest of "To Death Do Us Part" was going to be like. I wasn't rethinking the decision I made to marry Mike, but at that moment, I was not exactly all in either. My parents had never raised their voices to one another, hardly at all. And here we were shouting at one another less than a day into this whole marriage thing. I was a little shaky about my commitment, at least until we got to our destination. Mike Slaughter, the pastor at Ginsburg United Methodist Church, writes about his own early experience of marriage. He and his wife, Carolyn, were married in August, right before his final year of college. And the week after their honeymoon ended, Mike was back taking college classes again. And that first week back at school, he finished up his college classes for the day, and he went directly to the church youth group that he was leading. And it was 7 p.m. before he got back to their apartment. And as he put it, there was Carolyn, his wife, standing in the hallway, projecting lots of negative energy. She said to him, "Where have you been? I made a nice dinner for us. You didn't even call." And that was the moment that he realized he couldn't live the way he had been living, as if he had had no commitments. And he realized that he had made a commitment to be in this marriage for the rest of his life. And that was a long time. He couldn't live the way he once had. They have a term for that in poker, you know, going all in. That's when you wager all your chips on the cards that you're holding. And isn't that kind of what we do when we get married? We commit to a particular person, and the intention is to make it last a lifetime. And isn't that what we should do with our relationship with Jesus Christ? Go all in and make a commitment that will last a lifetime. Well, during this season of Lent, our theme is real followers. And I'll be exploring what it means to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. And I would say that the first step in being a real follower, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, is to make a commitment. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus tells his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Real followers go a different way than mainstream culture. And if anything is going to save the church in the 21st century, I believe it is the creation of real followers of Jesus Christ who think more of faith and less of themselves, who try to imagine what it means to pick up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. When Jesus walked around Jerusalem, the great temple was still standing in its full glory, the temple that Herod had built. That ancient first temple that Solomon had built had been destroyed by the Babylonians in their conquest. However, archaeologists believe that some remnants of that early first temple remained and were part of the campus of the second temple, which was rebuilt during the time of Zerubbabel around 535 BCE. But Herod the Great decided to make a name for himself by building up the temple, by making it more grand, and making it into something that would be a monument to himself. But the portico of Solomon, where Jesus was walking as our scripture opens, could have been a remnant of that more ancient structure dating back to Solomon. And perhaps that this is where this confrontation between Jesus and these Pharisees takes place, is a commentary on how the high priests and the scribes have worked hand in glove with Herod the Great and his descendants. Herod and his descendants had been placed in power by Caesar about 50 years before. And the great temple priesthood worked hand in glove with Herod and his descendants, serving their interests with prayers and public honor and by turning a blind eye to the greed and corruption of Herod. The Pharisees are in the most ancient part of the temple, and they want to know if Jesus is really the Messiah. Jesus, are you who people say you are? Say it plainly to us. And Jesus responds, I told you, and you don't believe me. You do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. They have chosen to follow something or someone else, Jesus seems to be saying. Now, of equal importance, Jesus says he and the Father are one. God the Father and Christ the Son are not similar. They are one. What Jesus wills, God wills. What Jesus loves, God loves. That is important. You remember God's words from last Sunday's scripture? This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. And we are still being called to listen to him today. What is most important to you? Is it climbing the ladder of success? Is it winning the game of life? Do we even know what it means to win the game of life? When I was a little kid, Milton Bradley Company had made and sold the Game of Life board game. You got a little convertible car in the beginning in which you were represented by either a little pink peg or a little blue peg. And as you journeyed along across the board of the game, you might get married and add another peg, or you might go to college or have kids or buy insurance or even go bankrupt. The person who earned the most money at the end of the game, who made it to Millionaire Acres, was the winner. But there is more to life than that, isn't there? Jesus says there is more to life than that. If there's been a lesson during the pandemic, as we have slowed down and spent time apart from the larger world and more time among family or just alone, I do think we have been pointed towards something greater than material success and something greater than our possessions. We have been shown that there are deeper things for which our spirits long. Dr. James Rucker, in an article entitled On Listening, wrote about being at a t-ball game on the Little League diamond over by the elementary school, watching his son play ball. And during a lull in the action, he looked around and saw on the side of the press box a great big loudspeaker for announcing the games. And in that speaker was a small bird who had built her nest used for announcing the games. And there she was, raising her young. He realized that though she doubtless heard all that is going on and had a spectacular view of the game, she certainly was not listening. And we can be just the same, attending an event or being seen immersed in the noise of what's going on around us, immersed in the noise of life, but not listening to a bit of it. The hard truth is this: listening to those we love, whether it's our children or God, takes effort. God is waiting for us to listen so we can live more fully into God's claim on our lives. During the time I was away from Bethany in January and working to get my parents' house ready to sell, I had a lot of time and space for reflection and reading the Bible. I didn't have internet, except through my phone. I didn't have cable television. I had the radio and books and photos and lots of time to think in that house that was empty except for me and memories. There was a great deal of quiet for listening. And what I heard was a call to let go of anger and take up forgiveness in its place. I forgave my father for not being the person I had thought he was, the person I had wanted him to be. I forgave the lies and the hurt of the past. I forgave myself for looking for the truth, and then when I found it, not knowing what to do with it. And when I had forgiven and forgiven and forgiven, I didn't hurt nearly so much. I let it all go. God said it was time to turn it all loose. Mourning was over and rebuilding could commence. The thing about listening is you have to work at it. And we all need a bit of time to listen and hear the voice of the one who is calling us. Perhaps that voice is a gentle nudge of the Spirit directing you to a certain action. Maybe it is the words of Scripture or the lyrics of a song or even the voice of someone you love showing you a new path in life. I invite you this week to take time to find some silence and space so that you can listen for the voice of God. Perhaps God is calling you to cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Perhaps God is calling you to mend a broken relationship. Perhaps something is distracting you so that you cannot do everything for the glory of God, as Paul suggests in 1 Corinthians. And so you need to turn away from distraction. As we go through this season of Lent, I invite you not to give up something, as we often do at Lent, unless that is truly on your heart. We have given up so much of what we once thought of as our normal and ordinary lives. So this season during Lent, I encourage you to give yourself over to God and listen for the voice of the shepherd as it guides you to your truest self and your true home. Amen. So I know that this morning we want to remember all those who are on a prayer list in our prayers, including Tom and Jan Gordon, Lloyd Meadows, Jean Radosha and her family, Gary Ruhlman, who had surgery this past week and is at home recovering. I want to remember Phil and Ruth Ann Meixel, as well as Wayne Martlock, Danny Martlock's father. Let us pray. Oh Lord, you know us completely. You know us down to our deepest desires, our fondest wishes, and you love us beyond measure. You are the good shepherd who calls us to follow. You lead us beside still waters and restore our souls. Your love is without limit. Your mercy is embodied in your Son, Jesus Christ, who leads us into abundant life. As we travel through this season of Lent, help us to examine our faith so we might become real followers of Jesus Christ, ready to put our faith into action. We lift up all of those who are in the midst of or in need of healing. We ask that you pour out healing upon them. We pray for those who need to be refreshed in their spirits. There are so many who are struggling right now. We lift them up to you so that you might give them strength in the midst of this pandemic. Lord, we pray for our people who are, well, who are on the front lines of fighting this disease. We pray for the doctors and nurses and first responders, for police officers and firefighters. Lord, we pray for those who are considered to be, well, essential workers. So much of what all of us do is essential, but we pray for those who are out there being exposed to the virus. Gracious God, I pray for those who are mourning for loved ones and ask that you would give them hope. Give all of us hope in the power of your ability to bring wholeness out of brokenness, to bring life out of death. Continue to connect us to one another, even though we must be distanced, or at least socially distanced. Lord, remind us that your connection unites us in a bond that is stronger than death, stronger than isolation, stronger than all that separates us. Build us up and keep us in love with you. All these things I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
I do want to share a couple of announcements. First off, we will not have communion today, as it was announced in the happenings. Also want to point out the mission team does need help. We are helping Stanton United Methodist Church with their Green Hanger Project. The gently used clothing, laundered with no stains or holes, new socks, underwear, personal care products, and they give them to middle and high schoolers who are in need. What an important mission right in our own backyard. So try to help if you can. You can contact Lori Mooney if you have any questions, and you can check out the Green Hanger Project website, and the address is listed in the happenings. And again, There are so many people in need of prayer right now. If there's anyone that you especially need prayer for, just raise your hand right now, and we're just going to add it to the list. Any other announcements that you want to share that? No? Speak now or forever hold thy peace. Okay, we're going to sing our last song, and I just pray everyone has a blessed week. It's so good to see you. I love you all so much. Thank you.